we have the story of Rivka Imenu. Rivka is confused. She doesn't know what's happening. Rashi writes from the Medrash that whenever she passed the base Medrash, it seemed that the child wanted to go out. Whenever she passed the base Avodah Zarah, it seemed that the child wanted to go out as well. And Rashi says, "Vatelech lidrosh es Hashem." What does it mean she went to go and ask and seek guidance from HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Rashi says that means that she went to Yeshivas Shem Va'Ever, and she decided to ask counsel to seek guidance from the Talmidei Chachamim in the Yeshiva of Shem Va'Ever. Having a Rav and a Talmud Chacham in one's life who you are comfortable consulting with about the extremely intricate and complicated issues that might come up is a very critical component of life. As a Jew, we are faced with so many advances, so many different things that our world presents us today in advances in science, in medicine, and technology, and the way that halacha has an interface with all of that is something that is extremely challenging. Halacha has a lot to say about everything, and therefore we all need to make sure that we have talmidei chachamim in our lives who are comfortable being the kinds of people able to confront the issues that we will be faced with. In the Sefer Nishmas Avraham, which is written by Dr. Abraham, it's a very beautiful set of svarim, written by Dr. Abraham, who really consulted with many Gedolei Yisrael as he was writing it, and he asked them every question that came up in his practice of medicine. So he writes an open letter there to many of his friends who are doctors, and he says, "Kama ko'ev li hadavar, how painful it is for me, shebesugyos refuas kashos ha'omdes beruma shel olam." He said, now we're confronted with the most complicated issues in medicine, and these are issues that no previous generations ever had to deal with. And says Dr. Abraham, although these are the issues we're dealing with, kigon, for example, hamatas chesed, mercy killing euthanasia, ein pundikos, he says, all the surrogate motherhood discussions and all the fertility treatments that we have today, ve'rofim, afilu rabbanim mistamchem halacha lamaisa al piske halacha lekula, hanimtzayim b'ma'amarim shekas v'talmidei chachamim, he said, you'll Google the answer, you'll look up a certain question that you're dealing with, that you're faced with, and you'll find an answer from somebody. You don't even know who this somebody is. He might be a Talmud Chacham, but he doesn't really have the kinds of shoulders necessary to answer these kinds of very difficult questions. And he said, we follow them. Even rabbis follow them. Even doctors follow them. And they don't look into the issue well enough to know that these psakim are menugadim lipsakim yaduel ahachmir shel gedolei hador shlita. He says, you don't realize that this is a complicated issue. You don't realize that this is something that many great people have weighed in about before. And it's something you have to choose very carefully who you're going to ask and how you're going to present the question and who you will trust. We must make a habit, he writes, of consulting with our great Jewish leaders who are worthy of being consulted with on these kinds of very critical issues that we face in our community. So we have two psukim in Parshas Ekev, both of them that the Gemara finds to be a little bit troubling. Number one, says the pasuk, "Es Hashem Elokecha Tira." We all know we have an obligation of Yiras Hashem, Va'oso Savod, and as an outgrowth of our Yiras Shamayim, we're supposed to obviously serve Hakadosh Baruch Hu as well. Ubo Sidbak, and then you're supposed to cling to Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Uvishmo Tishaveya. The pasuk then writes in Parshas Ekev that we have an obligation, La'avas Hashem Elokechem, La'leches Bechal Derachav, to follow the ways of Hashem. Ule Dav Kabo, and the Gemara in Maseches Sota and other places finds this a little bit troubling. I understand you're telling me to follow the ways of Hashem. I understand you tell me to have fear and love of Him and to follow in all the instructions that He gave us to live our lives. I get that. But what does it mean, ledavka bo? How are you supposed to have some sort of real connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? How can you do that? The Ribbono Shel Olam, as we know, is not a human being. He doesn't live in our world as most people do. And therefore, ask the Gemara, what exactly does it mean? Michi efshar la'adam lidavik b'shchina? Where does it say Dveikus in the Torah? It says it by Adam and Chava, v'davak be'ishto, that a man and a woman have the opportunity to create a bond with one another that's so profound, that's so deep, physically, that they'll get to know each other so well. But how does that translate into our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Says the Gemara, what it means is, kalamasi bita l'talmid chacham, if you marry your children off to talmidei chachamim, or you do business with talmidei chachamim, or you help talmidei chachamim out in your life, all of those are an extension of a way of being medabek l'shchina, because we assume that the great talmidei chachamim of any generation are people who embody everything that the Torah stands for, who embody everything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu stands for, and therefore we assume that by clinging to them and by having a positive relationship with them and making ourselves comfortable with what they represent, we assume that that is a way of following this mitzvah in the Torah of Ubo Sidbak. That's our way of clinging to the Ribbono Shel Olam himself. So today, as we know, is Rosh Chodesh. And we as Jews follow the lunar calendar. We do not follow the solar calendar as the rest of the world does. So the Medrash writes on that pasuk in Parshas Bo, HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chodeshim. The beginning of the lunar month is considered to be the beginning of the month for Jews. Says the Medrash, Atem Monim Lilavana Ve'ein Umas Ha'olam Monim Lo. You, Jewish people, will count to the Levana. You will follow a lunar calendar, although the rest of the world is going to follow a solar calendar. It happens to be a major problem. Why is it that in one area in Halacha in particular, we follow the solar calendar, which is Talamutter? How did Talamutter suddenly follow the solar calendar when everything else in Jewish tradition follows the lunar calendar? It's a little bit strange. And how do we get the seemingly arbitrary date of December 4th or 5th in a leap year, when that also seems not to correspond to anything? This was an issue that was raised in one of the tshuvas of Rav Moshe, and it's not the time to discuss it now, but it's clear that we generally follow the lunar calendar. And many have wondered, why is it that it's so significant that we follow the lunar calendar as opposed to the solar? Rav Asher Weiss once told me, when I started in the Rabbanus, Rav Asher Weiss told me the following. He said, the reason we follow the lunar calendar is because, lo chashuv b'chayim kama ata gadol, Rakama ata gadil. It's not important in life how great you are, but rather how much you continue to grow. And he said, every moment of life, every day of life is meant to be a growing experience, to make yourself a better person than you were the day before. And therefore, we follow the lunar calendar, because the lunar calendar might not be the greatest of the galaxies in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's great world. It is not the biggest. Obviously, the sun overpowers the moon many times over, but the moon is greater because the moon is always growing. And that's what a Jew's perspective in life always needs to be. It's about growing. It's about looking toward the next step and the next accomplishment. That's one suggestion. But others suggest maybe what it means is why we follow the lunar calendar is because, as Jews, so much of our experience and so much of what we need to do is not to be the shining light on our own, but to act as a moon. The moon doesn't give off light on its own. It's just a reflection of the sun. Very often we find ourselves in a position where we just need to be reflective, where we just need to be in a position where we're going to hand off the issues to others, to the leaders of our community, to the Einei Ha'eda, to the light of our community and of our time. And those are the ones who are going to teach us how we have the ability to live life in the best way as Jews. And that is really what a Jew is all about. That is a very important principle. Rav Moshe Feinstein writes, one might say that today, with the access that the internet gives us, or all the programs that we have, Torah programs, or the proliferation of Svarim, no generation before us had as many Svarim printed and published as we have today. So there's so much resource, and there's so easy accessibility, and such tremendous availability. Says Rav Moshe, maybe you'll say that today it's not important to have a Rav anymore. It's not important to have a rabbi who can be comfortable asking questions. I can figure it out. I can look it up. Rav Moshe writes in a tshuva that he thinks that is incorrect. Even though you have all of the Svarim, he says, and you have all of the resource, and you have so much information in front of you, still, he writes, Tzarech l'rav gadol muvak sheyilmad eich lahavin ulahaskil divrei rabuseinu hamefarshim haposkim. He says, you still need somebody who can teach you how you're supposed to apply, how you're supposed to properly understand, and how you're supposed to extrapolate from what it is that you learn to whatever question might present itself in front of you. Not everything is always so black and white. Sometimes you have a shaila in one area of halacha, and you have to go somewhere totally in a different discipline of halacha to find the answer. Sometimes you have a shaila in Hilchos Shabbos. We had this 2 years ago. Very critical shaila in Pikuach Nefesh in Hilchos Shabbos, and it happens to be the answer was found in the Beis Yosef's comment that he has in Hilchos Avodah Zarah. Who would have known to look there? You can have all the information here, but if you don't have that Rebbe to guide you and to help you extrapolate from the text and from the source how to apply it into the particular scenario that you have before you, says Rav Moshe, that would be a problem even in a generation where you have so much access and availability to the information that previous generations never had. Rav Soloveitchik has an amazing comment on a pasuk in Parshas Bereishis. The pasuk there says, Zeh Sefer Toldos HaAdam B'yom B'ro Elokim Adam. This is the Toldos HaAdam. This is the way man was created. B'demus Elokim Asoso. We're told that we were all created B'tzelem Elokim. And then the Torah says, Zachar U'nekev HaBara'am. The Torah here in the beginning is describing the spiritual makeup of man. And we're told we were created B'tzelem Elokim. We all have a neshama. Whatever Tzelem Elokim means, major discussion. But it means something spiritual, we assume. And then the Torah follows that by saying, Zachar U'nekev HaBara'am. It sounds to be like a little bit out of place. be talking about the physical makeup of man. We're just talking about the spiritual makeup of man. So Rav Soloveitchik writes in one of his drushas a very important idea, and he says when it comes to spirituality as well, we all have this ability and we were all created with a part of us that is a zachar and a part of us that is a nekeva. A zachar, many Bali Machshava have written that a zachar is always the one who is the nosein, who is the giver. And a nekeva is always the one, this obviously doesn't mean in every aspect of life, but it means in some aspects of life we assume a zachar is the giver and the nekeva is the taker. And therefore, said Rav Soloveitchik, every Jew in life always in spirituality has to have both of these qualities as well. One also has to have the ability to give. You always have to be a leader and a teacher in some way on your own. But at the same time, you always have to realize that there are going to be aspects of life where you have to just be in a caver. You have to be a makabel. You have to learn to be a little bit dependent and a follower. And not always are you going to be in the position of leadership where you're always going to be able to give over. And he said, this is why the Torah says, Zachar nekeva bara'am, right after the Torah says that we were all created B'Tzelem Elokim, because this too is relevant to the life of a person who lives a spiritual life. It is not two different ideas. This is something that follows the very same idea that the Torah first lays out in that pasuk. The Rambam writes in Igeres Teman. Igeres Teman is an amazing letter that the Rambam wrote in response to the Jews in a community in Morocco that seemed to have gone astray. They were following those who were pressuring them to go to serve a different religion. So the Rambam there writes that the same way she'inatzel hasuma, when you have a blind person who doesn't know how they're going to get around the community, how they're going to get around to the business meeting they need to go to, he says hishano ala pikeach belechto acharav. Obviously, he'll ask somebody who's able to see to guide them through whatever it is that they need to go through. And so too, he says achole, when you have a simple person who gets sick. I don't know anything about medical treatments. I don't know exactly how severe the circumstances are. I don't really know how it could be treated or which hospital to go to. I'm going to put my faith in the doctor, in the medical team, that they are going to help me make the right decisions in order to help myself get cured. Kimokain, says the Rambam. The same way both of those are obvious, and the same way anyone who's sick would go to a medical professional who knows better than they do. And the same way somebody who's blind would certainly go to somebody who's able to see in order to help them navigate whatever it is that they need to do. Kemokein roi lahamon am limsar mishantam al hanaviim balei ha'enayim ha'amitios. So too, says the Rambam, it should be just as obvious that we have the opportunity as Jews to also put our troubles and to put our confusion that sometimes we're presented with in this world or some of the complicated issues in the Nevi'im, who are balei ha'enayim ha'amitios, who have a guiding light for the Jewish community, and they are able to give that guidance in a way that is able to help the community move forward. And says the Rambam, that didn't stop when we had Nevi'im. The Rambam says, obviously, when you had a Navi who was told something directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, obviously that was easier. But the Rambam says it didn't stop there. After the period of the Nevi'im ended, the Chachamim took over and they said, we now are going to be the ones who will also give the guidance. HaChodfim v'harodfim yamim v'leilos hasvaros v'adeos. That our Talmidei Chachamim always traditionally have been the ones who are able to give that perspective and who are able to give us that guidance that we so badly need in times of deep confusion. Let me just close with one amazing comment said by the Shem Yishmuel. The Shem Yishmuel was one of the great Gedolim in Poland. He was the son of the Avnei Nezer. He lived in the second half of the 1800s into the 1900s. And he writes that he had a son-in-law one year who was very sick right before Yom Kippur. And this son-in-law was a pious Jew. And the doctor that he consulted with told him he absolutely needs to eat on Yom Kippur. And the rabbi also told him that he has to eat on Yom Kippur. And he was extremely uncomfortable about having to do that. And he said, even though the rabbi told me and even though the doctor told me, I'm just not comfortable with it. And I'm not going to eat. I'll take the risk. So his father-in-law, the Shem Yishmuel, sends him a letter right before Yom Kippur expressing his opinion about how wrong his son-in-law is. And he says, obviously, if the doctor tells you you need to do this, this is what you need to do. But then he writes, Ubetach Zachar Tizkar. You've been at my Shabbos table many times, he says. You know this very well, what I often quote at the table, Mashakvar Shamata Mimenu Harbe Pa'amim. You know what I've quoted many times, and that is, She'ikar Hayadus, one of the most foundational principles in our religion is, Lios Ha'adam Batel Adas HaTorah V'Chachameha. So if the Torah tells you to fast on Yom Kippur, but the Chachamim come along and say, this year on Yom Kippur, it's inappropriate for you to fast, and that is not the way to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Iker HaYadus is the most foundational element of Judaism is that you now have the obligation to follow the Chachamim, even though it makes you uncomfortable, but that's what the Chachamim tell you to do. V'alkein, and therefore he says, Ein lecha lehitztarim lo tatzim b'yom ha-kippurim. Don't feel bad that you're not going to be able to fast this year on Yom Kippur. Ki bameh shetishma ledas chachmei ha-Torah shetzivu shelo latzum. By listening to the Chachamim who told you under these conditions that you shouldn't fast, hu shaveh yoser me'ikar hatzom. You get more schar for that than you would for the fast itself, which is amazing. Yom Kippur, which is, as we know, the holiest day of the year, and one of the most important aspects and elements of the observance of Yom Kippur is that one needs to fast. What kind of Yom Kippur is it without? Writes the Shemi Shmuel to his son-in-law, that is Shaveh Yoser Me'ikar Atzom. This year, when you're unable to fast, you should understand that that is worth more. You get more schar for listening to the Chachamim who have guided you in this circumstance, how you should act. That is more worthy in the eyes of the Ribbono Shel Olam than the fasting would have otherwise been on its own. Reb Hanani ben Akasha Omer, Ratzah HaKadosh